This is Coco Beware, and you are listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at
the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
They think they got the answers. I change the question.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
These are the best in the world, brother. These are the best at what they do.
When we talk about the legends of the sport, there's only two in my book.
Another wrestling podcast.
Another wrestling podcast. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. This is episode number 107. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steven Credo, it is another amazing week here at another wrestling podcast. It is a huge week here. Steve, yes. Tell us who the guest is.
The guest, I hope all of you feathered friends out there are ready for the Birdman, Coco Beware, to be joining us today. A blast from the past, Jonathan. He doesn't do a lot of these interviews, but he's doing ours today. He's coming on another wrestling podcast to tell everybody about his career, his life. I don't know. We're going to find out a lot of stuff and maybe a little bit about Frankie. We'll find out about the birds and the bees and the, you know, everything. All the fun stuff, Jonathan. Coco Beware, man. Such a fan of his growing up. I can't wait.
Yeah, I think that a lot of my childhood was probably centered around Coco Beware, his crazy outfits, Pile Driver, the song. It's just going to be great to talk to this guy today. Always looking forward to some of these people that you maybe don't get to hear a lot from. That's what we do here at Another Wrestling Podcast. We are a topical show. We've said it 1,000 times. We talk topics, as well as scour the ends of the earth to try to find the greatest personalities in the world of professional wrestling.
That's right. They love being on the show, and they love hearing from you. So make sure you check out anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You can like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Stitcher. Guys, we're all over the world. Check out the mothership, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find all the links. We're everywhere, Jonathan. Even on Google Music this week, nothing can stop us now. We're at the top of the world.
Well, we are a topical show. This is probably the third time I've said that this episode, but you all need to know that we do still talk a little bit about what's going on right now. And right now, Steve, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that rocked the world this week in wrestling.
That's right. Jonathan, you know, a lot of headlines going around, a lot of big stories, but, you know, we've gone through Black Friday again, as they call it, in the WWE. A lot of releases, Jonathan. Who were you sad to see go? And maybe we could break some news on here and tease the fans for next week.
Absolutely. You said it right there. There's two people, to me, that probably had the most potential out of everybody. I'm disappointed when anybody loses their job, let's be honest, but Santino Marella and Damian Sandow are the two that I really think they kind of missed the boat with.
Yeah, it's sad, man. It's like Damian Sandow, first and foremost, you know, you give this guy anything and he turned it into gold. You know, I loved the genius gimmick, you know, man. It was so good, and they got rid of it. That drove me nuts, because it was like, you're looking for characters. This is a character, and he's doing it amazing. He could talk, he could walk, he could do it all, Jonathan. And it's you know, a lot of people say this is one of the talents, one of the biggest names that they dropped the ball on. And it's a shame, man. You know, everything they've given to him, he, you know, turned it around, and people loved it. I don't know, is it the curse of the Miz? Every time you team up with the Miz, man, you seem to get fired or something. So, unfortunately, Damian Sandow, man, that was my biggest upset this week. But, of course, Jonathan, you said it too, Santino Marella. Can we drop this right now? I'm sure people know out there from the exclusive. But, you know, the Milan Miracle, Santino Marella, is going to be joining us next week here on another wrestling podcast. And he has a lot to talk about. Jonathan, breaking down borders, getting exclusives. You know, it's what we do.
That is exactly what we do. Now, we want to talk a little bit about Raw. And over the past couple weeks, we've started to see Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and AJ Styles all start to kind of team up together. There's been some dissension. There wasn't, a clear path for these guys. We didn't know if they were going to team up. AJ seemed a little upset whenever they were interfering in his matches against Roman Reigns. But this week, it seems like they are on the same page, and they are being called, wait for it, the Club. Now, if I am correct, that is also the name of a device that helps you not get your car stolen in seedy neighborhoods. So what are your thoughts on the Club not being the Bullet Club?
Man, you know, we were just talking about Camp WWE last week and how, like, profanity-driven it is with the cursing. They can't say Bullets on TV. They can't say Bullet. Okay, granted, once again, we were going to get those guys out there who were going to leave these comments, but we get that New Japan, yada, 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 owns the Bullets Club name. You know, granted, McMahon has a lot of money to purchase that name. Too bad they're not doing it. I don't know what they're doing with it. But, hey, they're going to save a few bucks, not do it. I'm so curious, too, to where they didn't spell it a different way, like, you know, Bullet with three L's or Club with a K, L-U-B, I don't know. It just, you know, something like that. I don't know. The Club, maybe if it was D-A, like the Club, I think it definitely is missing that bullet in front of it. And I said it before, too, I don't really like the Baylor Club name. I get it. I got it, why he did it, and yada, 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 but I don't know. I don't like any of these names. I think Bullet Club is the only thing you could call this, and I don't know. I think it's a work in progress, but they definitely just wanted to give him a name or something this week. So instead of just calling him, you know, Anderson, Doc, and AJ, they're calling him the Club. All I can think about is sandwiches or, you know, the Club device like you just mentioned, but I don't know.
Well, maybe we get a Twitter hashtag going and see what people can come up with. Hashtag better names than the Club for these guys. So let's see what you guys can come up with. I was thinking shells whenever you said, like, bullets, like shotgun shells. But then I just have this picture of, like, you know, conchs and, you know, certain seashells on the T-shirts. But let's stay away from that. But you know what? This week is also – we're kind of into this new era that's been going around. What are your thoughts so far on that? Because I'll be honest with you right now, just taking it for what it is, I feel that it's more compelling. We're getting better matches, and we get to see some of these people come up the ranks probably a little earlier for some of them than they would if they were to stay in NXT until their character was completely developed. So what do you think? What's your favorite part so far about this so-called new era in the WWE?
You know, Jonathan, it's been like a perfect storm because it's like if there were no – like, hear me out to where if there weren't a lot of injuries right now, would they have called up so many guys? Would they have, you know, did all this other stuff? Would it have just been one or two guys? You know, it surprised me the night after WrestleMania to where all these guys were called up. I'm like, wow, they pretty much gutted NXT. But, you know, I guess they're realizing, you know, a lot of this – you know, shtick to where, you know, Hornswoggle and El Torito are gone. Now they're renaming the Los Matadores to, you know, I would hope just the Colognes, but I think something about the Shining Stars or whatever they're going to be, but whatever. You know, it's definitely they're changing the tides. They realize, you know, a lot of these guys are out. They're not so much old, but they've definitely been seasoned to where their bodies are just starting to break down easier, I guess. So they want some young guys up there, man. They want some new people up there so that, you know, this doesn't happen. They can build all these stars on Raw and not have to wait for them, I guess, to go through this NXT process. But that's the only thing I could think of to where if they didn't have all these injuries, they wouldn't have come to a realization that, hey, we need to move some people around and start, you know, shifting the tides a little bit. And, you know, who do we need? Who don't we need? You know, they're gutting it. They're gutting house and changing places, changing names. I don't know. It's interesting, though. It's definitely making it exciting.
Well, there's a lot to come, it seems like, from the McMahons. We know that this this peaceful time between Shane and Stephanie is not going to last. But it's fun right now, and it seems to be working. We mentioned it. You know, you're getting call-ups. You got Enzo and Cass. You got Dana Brooke on Raw now. So it's going to be great to see. But I'll tell you right now, this matchup between Roman and AJ, whether it's with the Usos or the club or whatever, or just one-on-one, it's great, compelling matches that they're having, and I can't wait to see what happens at Extreme Rules. Obviously, we know that something probably big will happen, but this is good. So this is what is best for business right now, and I'm a big fan of the new era.
That's right. And if you have any thoughts out there, you want to tell us what's on your mind, cut a promo, tell us what you love, tell us what you hate, tell us something about the world of professional wrestling, give us a call at 802-297-7672. That's 802-AWP-7672. We'll play the best calls each week.
Well, Steve, we have waited long enough. We've did a little bit of talking. We've done a little bit of squawking, if you will. And it's now time to talk to the Birdman himself. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Coco, beware.
Today is a historic episode of Another Wrestling Podcast. Joining us on today's show is a WWE Hall of Famer. He's appeared on the first episode of Raw. He's a singer, and he's also a bird lover. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the legendary Birdman, Coco Beware. Coco, thanks for joining us.
Oh, man, this is my pleasure.
How are you doing today, Coco?
Man, we're doing great. Man, I'm telling you what, it's so good to walk on top of the ground instead of the ground walking on top of you. And I tell you, man, I just feel great. I just thank the world what I've done. Thank God for what I've achieved in life. And man, I am just so happy that I'm still here. Cause a lot of us are gone now. But the Birdman is still around.
Now, you started wrestling in 1978. Is that correct?
1978. I'm originally from Union City, Tennessee. I played football there. I was one of the best nose guards that you ever laid eyes on, so they say. And I got the name Coco on the football team. And it was just something about the professional wrestling used to come in my little hometown each and every Thursday night, and I just loved it. And I just fell in love with it, and I made up my mind then. I said, I want to be a professional wrestler, and that's what I want to be. And I used to go out and just wrestle different kids all up and down the neighborhood and stuff like that. Man, they said, man, did this kid ever stop wrestling? I said, no, I thought we The other kids would say, he just loved to wrestle all the time. And my parents, in fact, I got a lot of spanking belts and all that stuff back in the day for going out and turn up my new pants that my mother just bought and stuff like that. She said, I just bought these pair of pants and you just done tore a hole in them for wrestling going on. So it paid off in the long run. And I really thank all the fans out there that made it happen, because I'm coming out from day one and way before I made it to the big time. I mean, it's just there was the fans back then that supported me, and I never forgot them and stuff like that. And I looked like I just made one step to another step. And it was just awesome how my career just started. And this is something, like I said, a lot of times you don't get to do what you want to do in life, and you have to. You start off on it. You want to do this, and then you end up doing something else. But I ended up. This is what I wanted. I wanted to be a professional wrestler, where I didn't have to work no more, didn't have to do this. didn't have to get out of here painting houses that I'm doing now and stuff like that. I just, you know, I just wanted to be that sports entertainer that I thought that they made a big fortune back in the day. I mean, back in the day, I thought they really made a big fortune, but now it's just their time. They're making the fortunes.
Sure. Now, Coco, man, you still travel around and wrestle for companies to this day. What are some of the biggest changes maybe you see from wrestling from when you started to maybe wrestling today?
Well, it's just everything now is stripped out and stuff like that. I mean, when I started, we had to just talk on top of our heads, just think of some things, some crazy things and stuff like that, just think to your opponent. But now, everything is okay, you got to memorize this line. Say this, stop. Keep butts in. Say this, stop. The other guy butts in. And to me, it's okay, but it's more of on a Hollywood style. It's more Hollywood than, you know, actors and stuff like that. And but we were just talent, I think, for professional wrestling was built on talent. Here it is that we drew 93,000 people in 1987. Without the scriptwriters. With Andre the Giant, when Hogan slammed Andre the Giant, Coco be wearing the match where Butch Reed kicked the WrestleMania off. 93,000. But it was just one that Coco, you have to say this. We didn't have to say, we just talked about each other and went on and drew 93,000 people.
Awesome. Now, one of the biggest questions we always try to ask wrestlers are you still a fan of wrestling? Like, do you actually actively watch it today on TV? Or?
Yes. You know what? It's like this. I still love the business. I love it. I still love it. I wish I could still come out. You know, I would love to come out on Monday Night Raw with a nice suit on, Frankie and I, just come down the aisle and just play my music and go around to the table and dance and let the people see me around the world, you know, around the world, and then right back up the ramp and out we go. I don't want to be jumped on. I don't want to jump on nobody. Frankie don't want to be touched, and you know, we just want to have just come out and let the world see the Birdman and Frankie again in a real nice, I'm talking about in a nice suit, and we all dressed up, and I'm talking about still carrying the tradition on.
Definitely. Now, did you have any favorites today that you like to watch on TV, or any current wrestlers out there that catch your eye?
Well, you know what? It's all good talent. I mean, they have really changed it around. They have some good talent, the young generation. And I would say, I'm not going to knock success or anything like that. WWE, you know, they put me on the map. And you know what? And I got to keep that title that they put me on the map, because I went as far as I could go around Union City, Tennessee, around Memphis, Tennessee. And Memphis, Tennessee helped me a whole lot. They got me my first TV show, I mean, event and stuff like that. So when I got on there, and then other people began to see me. But I want to give it all to wrap it up. I want to give it all to WWE for giving me that opportunity to make it to the big time.
You were born in Tennessee. You talked about that a lot. And it's always been a hotbed for professional wrestling. We know that you were a fan of it growing up, but who were some of the people that inspired you to get into the wrestling business? Like who did you watch and say, man, I've got to be in wrestling.
Well, back then I'm going to mention guys' names that you guys have probably never heard of and stuff like that, but they were local guys down here. One guy named was Al Ramsey. He was a big guy, what they call babyface down here. And I really kind of liked his style. And And there was another fellow named Jackie Fargo. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yes.
Down here in the South stuff. And they were just real, real good. And I just wanted to be like Fargo. And then Jerry the King Lawler, in fact, he was another one. I know you know Lawler.
Of course,
and,
yep.
Those guys were just really just caught my eye, especially Jerry, because he was like the dirty man. That Ric Flair had the dirty man. Had all the dirty tricks in the book, but you know, Jerry Lawler had all the dirty tricks in the book. And I learned a whole lot under Jerry, and I'm really proud of Jerry. He's like a brother to me and stuff like that. He helped me out a whole lot, and my hat goes out to him. I always, no matter what, I still respect him, right, because he helped me out a whole lot. I think I sound like a tape recorder, but it is the living truth.
Sure. Now, did anybody in your family or whatnot try to talk you out of becoming a pro wrestler?
No, because, you know, they just is something that my dad and my mother knew that this is what I wanted to do. And I got a chance to, because wrestling was coming in my hometown every Thursday night, and I didn't miss a night. And I got a chance to work out. I met one of the guys, and that's where it started. And we started from there, and that's what happened. From there, it just went to different little places. Mm-hmm. Of course, they kind of tricked me one time. I mean, one of my first wrestling events, I didn't know it, but they said I've been training for these guys for a whole year before anyone took a look at me. And I was wrestling for this in the arena, just working out and wrestling with those guys for one whole year. And then they said one night, they said, Coco, come on, go with us. We got a show in Paducah, Kentucky. I said, Paducah? Okay. I said, let me talk to my mother and father. They okayed it and all that. They said, now bring me stuff and all this stuff. I said, well, I need to bring my stuff. He said, well, you never know. Somebody may not show up, and then you might get a chance to wrestle. He said, oh, my God, well, don't tell me that. So I went, got my little bag, packed it up and stuff like that. We get in the parking lot in Paducah, Kentucky. Everybody was getting their bags out, and I left my bag in the trunk. He said, Coco, what are you doing? I said, I'm just leaving my bag in here. He says, no, don't leave your bag. Bring it on inside just in case somebody don't show up. You ain't got to run back to the car. And I said, okay. So, man, I finally got in the dressing room, and I met all these big monsters. Oh, my God. I mean, these guys was incredible, man. In fact, I was just a little kid back then. I think I was like 19, 20, something like that. But it was just like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe these humongous guys. And I was sitting down, and that was my trainer always told me in the dressing room, get somewhere and sit down and be quiet. Don't say nothing. If anybody want to come over and shake your hand, they'll come over there and shake your hand on their own. And I said, okay. So I sat down in the chair, didn't say a word. And then as the show was getting ready, I think it kicked off at 8 o'clock, then the promoter came over and said, Coco. He said, are you a big shot already? Mm-hmm. I said, no, sir, I don't think so. He said, why you ask me that? He said, golly, you are on the first match. You're not going to get dressed? I said, the main event is going to have to get dressed right now, but you're on the first match. I said, I'm not even booked on this card. He said, the hell you ain't booked. You're booked. And he showed me a poster. The Coco Kid. That's what they called me then. The Coco Kid versus the Super Destroyer on the first match.
Wow.
Man, my heart dropped.
I bet. Now, unfortunately, when you began your career during a time when, you know, race still kind of played a factor in a lot of things. Did you feel that you were ever, you know, treated differently because of that, or do you feel like everybody treated you pretty good?
Well, you know what? I never did think about anything like that because, in fact, I was raised around it, but I never did have the attitude that was going to stop me from what I wanted to be. And I just thought, hey, if I'm good enough, they're going to let me play on their team. And, you know, and if I just, and they did. I was just so humble and stuff like that. That I was just myself. I believe I did extra things to make it where I'm at today because I really train out a whole lot. I've trained and trained a lot to do moves and stuff like that. And I know there's a lot of them. There's some guys that don't have to train at all and reach the top. But that was those guys. I mean, I'm totally different. I wanted to be, and you know what? I had my height that really hurt me my sight. And I really had to be outstanding to really get the people's attention to be up on the level with Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, Paul Brown, Rick Flair, all those guys. Hulk Hogan, to be up there with those guys, I had to be somebody real, real special. Where, man, unbelievable what this guy can do. So I had to train extra hard, and I had to pray, and I had to think about some things. And you know what? It looked like things were just falling right in place. You know, and when I came out with that bird buster, everybody called it the brain buster, but I just changed the name to a bird buster. Then I came out with the drop kick off the top rope and laying on my feet. And because every time I would drop kick, like I see some of the guys now, they were laying right flat on their back. And it was... That move was hurting me more than my opponent.
Wow, yeah.
And so there was a friend of mine that had a cat, a black cat, and he was playing with the black cat. And he threw the black cat up in the air, and every time the black cat would land on four of his feet. And I said, and it's like some say, there's your answer right there on the drop kick. If you get up there, you got to learn how to drop kick and land on your feet. And when I went over that in my training with my trainer and stuff, and we went over and over and over, and I got it down. And I said, now I'm gonna take it to the arena. And we're going to make this happen. Huh. And so far, there's no one who has drop kicked off the top rope or sack of rope and landed on their feet.
Now, Coco, a little piece of a wrestling trivia out there for everybody listening. You know, here, you actually wrestled in the very first scaffold match in Memphis against superstar Bill Dundee. What were your thoughts going into that kind of a match?
Well, you know, I didn't know anything about a scaffold match. I think Bill had several scaffold matches. In fact, he used to be in a circus. At one time, they tell me. And he was used to the hype and stuff. So he went around and asked different guys, hey, how about a scaffold match? You like to be in a scaffold match with me and stuff like that. And then he made it around to me for some reason and said, hey, Coco, would you like to be in a scaffold match with me? And I said, heck yeah. You know, I didn't know a thing in the world about it. But we did it, and it was history was made. I was scared to death very scary of that height. Because I failed, and I finally failed, and stuff like that. You know, we didn't really get hurt out of it, but it was just that long fall that I knew how to fall, and it was a long way. That was a long body slam.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, due to your, you know, kind of creating a buzz about yourself and a lot of people got to know you, you finally got the call from WWE. What was your reaction to that call? And why do you think that they thought that you'd be a good fit in the then WWF?
Well, first, I didn't believe that they called me. I thought the guys was reading me because, you know, that's when he was pulling out all the talent all over the world. And I was down in Mid-South Wrestling, down in Mid-South of Bill Watts, Louisiana area and stuff. And so I got the phone call. In fact, it was Howard Finkel. Got the call. Coco, beware, Howard Finkel. I said, what? Get out of here. I said, Howard wouldn't call me. Yes, I'm telling you, Coco, this is me. This is Howard Finkel from the WWE. And I was like, no, no way. He said, I'll tell you what. Here's my number. Get a pencil paper, write this down, and call me right back. And at the time, I told my wife, I said, can you believe someone is pranking, putting a prank on me about WWF, coming and want me to, they're interested in me. And so she said, well, just call them and find out. Just call the number. So I called, and it was Howard again. Well, I believe you.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
But they saw the talent in me down in different agents. Saw some talent in me down in Louisiana. They was looking at tapes. In fact, he sent a lot of agents out to different territories and go out and get the best talent that you can get. Bring them back to the WWE, stuff like that. So, and that's what happened. I was shocked, but you know, I got sick. And, hey, we made it happen.
Definitely. Now, Coco, they say the best characters are just regular people with their personality turned up to 11. Is that you? Are you Coco Beware that we know?
Well, I'm the wrestler Coco Beware. I turn it off. When I put my tights on and I don't live this celebrity's life every day, because I live my own personal life. And my personal life is JW Ware. And you know, when I'm in the ring, when I'm all fully dressed, then I become Coco Beware. And you know, I'm that person that the people say, hey, there is Coco Beware. You know, golly, we just met Coco Beware, and I'm that character. And then when the lights go out, I'm back myself. I'm JW.
Okay. Well, you also got to come down to the ring for many years with Frankie, and that was, you know, something that we hadn't seen before. And then all of a sudden, we saw a bunch of other wrestlers that were coming to the ring with other animals as well. We had snakes and dogs. Why do you think the WWF at the time had so many wrestlers come out with animals?
Well, I really don't know, because when I got there, I didn't know they had a snake. I didn't know they had a dog. I didn't know they had a dragon. And that was another company that Vince McMahon made. He said, oh my God, we got another animal in the business. He said, you realize we have snakes, dogs, and Steamboat has a dragon, and now we have a bird. I didn't have no idea that they had animals in there before the time. But it was okay. I didn't have no problem with it. In fact, I loved the characters that we had. I had my character, Steamboat had his character, and Jake the Snake, it fit him. That gimmick fit him perfect. You know, the Bulldogs came out with Matilda, and you know, that was that British Bulldog. I mean, you know, they had that image. You know, that character got over to the people. It was something different. You know? And I was just glad that I got a chance to. In fact, I was just a bird man without a bird when I was down in Memphis, south with Bill Watson in Memphis, Tennessee. I just had the name, but I didn't have the live McCall bird that I really, really wanted to take on a road with me. That was my wife's idea about this bird, taking this bird on the road. God bless her heart. She's going on the glory lane. She died at the age of 46 with breast cancer, and I miss her every day. We was married 26 years, but she wanted to help kick this Birdman off the ground. I mean, off this Birdman off the ground.
I was just gonna say, was it hard to travel on the road with a bird?
At first it was hard. It cost stuff. The first night that when I made the appearance in Baltimore, Maryland, I had to take the bird out with a chain around his leg because they just flew the bird in from Brazil and gave it to me at the TV show at the arena that night. And the bird was wild as heck. So Pat Patterson and I, we disassembled the cage and everything to get the bird out of the cage. He didn't want to come out of the cage. He kept hanging on the cage. So we had to disassemble the cage. And then the thing was trying to bite Pat and trying to bite me. And Pat was going, "Coco, are you sure you want this bird? Oh, my God, this thing is wild." I said, "Pat, I got to have him. I got to, because if I don't have this bird, Pat, I'm a dead duck in the water." So I said, we got to have it. We got to make it work. And after the TV that night, oh man, the next day I went home and I worked with the bird and worked with him. And I said, if I have to put a chain around your leg every night at these arenas, I don't want that. I'm not going to have that. I said, because I want you to be free, and I want you to have your freedom. Let the people say, "Oh my God, Coco's got him trained so well; he don't have to have a chain to his leg. His bird can just step on his perch, and he just, you know, just have a great time." And so, just through prayer and stuff like that, man, it made it happen. Where each day got better, the bird still coming out of his cage, and he started going in his cage on his own, and he learned how. Okay, this is time to go. He knew when I you know, he got accustomed to everything. Where he knew when I started packing my bag and started putting his cage on the bed, he knew that we were getting ready to go.
That's great.
And so it made it so easy.
Well, you've had a very historic career. Obviously, you're, you know, a Hall of Famer, and you've gotten to do a whole bunch of things, go to all different kinds of places. What do you think is the most surreal moment of your career?
WrestleMania 3. It's the biggest crowd of my life, and just to go on there, and from a little small town of Union City, Tennessee, I just thought that was the greatest time in the world.
Definitely.
And I love Madison Square Garden. I love the Boston Garden. I love the Staples Center and all those different places and stuff like that. But nothing was like WrestleMania 3.
All right. Now, Coco, when you were wrestling, you were considered a high flyer, a risk taker. What do you think about some of the moves that these wrestlers are taking these days? Is it, I don't know, too dangerous in your point of view?
Well, they're not dangerous because the moves that I was trying to take, I guess people thought that was a dangerous move, but I kind of feel I have some little aches and pains over it and stuff like that now, but I think these guys here in the young generation, they've taken it to an extreme and stuff like that, and I just hope they don't get hurt. I saw the moves are great and all that. They're fantastic. I just hope one, just don't really end up getting really hurt real, real bad, and I really hate that.
Now, you got to team with a lot of greats, too. A lot of people may not realize that you had a great tag team career early on and then even lasted, in the WWF. You got to team with one of our favorites, Owen Hart. Did you enjoy getting to work with Owen?
Oh, it was a pleasure to be a partner with Owen Hart. And it was a pleasure just being a part of the Hart Foundation. It's Stu Hart and Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart and the whole family. I just got a chance to just be with the whole family when I go to Canada up there. And Stu Hart just really took put his arms around me and showed me all the love and stuff like that. But I really missed Owen. Owen was a great guy, a heck of a talent and stuff like that. And I was tag team at first with a guy down here in Memphis with Bobby Eaton. He was my first tag team partner, and him and I was really outstanding. And then I got hooked up with another tag team with the Pretty Young Things, Novell Austin and Coco Beware. So he just, then come on hard. I mean, just golly, my heck still goes out to him, and now God bless him and his family, and God bless his family wherever they may be at. And I just hope his kids and is doing great, because Owen really loved those kids, and I know he hurted me when that happened. But my heck still goes out. I go off to him.
Now, from one Hall of Famer here, we want to know from you, do you think Owen should be inducted as well into the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yes. Most definitely. But the other thing, this is the part I don't understand, and I don't think it's fair to the other wrestlers, that it started out all wrestlers that work for the WWE, Elf, or the New York area. But now, they have changed that. Anybody can be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, nothing's wrong with Snoop Dogg. I take my hat off. He's a heck of a talent. But my opinion, he has no business in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. He has no business. Pete Rose has no business in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Do the baseball players, do the NBA or do the American League Baseball, do they put wrestlers in their Hall of Fame? Yeah. No. Why should the promoters put guys who don't even have anything to do with the Wrestling Hall of Fame? That takes away that takes away from the other guy.
Definitely.
It's a Wrestling Hall of Fame, what it's supposed to be, but they turn it into just a whoever.
Definitely.
I mean, I love Bob Uecker. Mm-hmm. But he has no business in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Mike Tyson has no business. Big Snoop Dogg is laughing his butt to death and taking money and running with it. He's running with it. Ain't no telling what kind of payoff he got. But he's laughing, he's sitting on the couch and laughing, and oh my God, can y'all please let me in WWE Hall of Wrestling Hall of Fame? What the hell is WWE Hall of Fame? And he's laughing about it. It's a big joke to him. That they could have called on, there's some more good talent out there that said that love to be in the Hall of Fame, that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They may not never get the opportunity because guys like these other entertainers from the younger place of business, they're in the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Definitely. Now, Coco, speaking of the Hall of Fame, you know, you were inducted in 2009. What was it like for you to get that call saying that, hey, you're going into the Hall of Fame? How was it?
Well, you know what? I just said, well, I can't believe that it took me 20 years to put me in the Hall of Fame. When I said, what the heck, I'm in here now. And it was something. I think the fans, and I know they... Normally, fans don't have a whole lot to do with that. What they said they do, they don't have, the fans don't know. It's voted by a committee and stuff like that, who they want to put in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, hey, when they gave me that title, and you know what? They got to live up to that title because I'm going to be that Hall of Famer that they put me in. And I'm not going to abuse it. And I'm not going to let nobody else abuse the Hall of Fame. You know, I'm a legend, Hall of Famer. You're not going to take Michael Jordan out there on the NBA court and go against LeBron James. You're not going to take Larry Bird to go out there and play against some of these other, Curry. You know, you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And so when you see Larry Bird, you see Michael Jordan, you see Magic Johnson, all those guys are talking, all those guys in nice suits and everything like that. That's the way the Birdman is going to be when you see the Birdman on national TV or anywhere like that. You won't see me get carried out of the stretcher where they just pulled the Birdman clothes off. They over-eaten Frankie and stuff like that. You know, they cooking Frankie and they're going to kill Coco Beware off over here. And he's laying up under the ring somewhere. I don't know. But that's not going to happen because they made me a Hall of Famer and we're going to treat it as a Hall of Famer. I'm a legend. I am a legend to the fans, and I want to look good for the fans.
Well, we look back today. We know you're very busy, so we just have two more questions for you. You know, as we've looked back on your career today, it's been a historic career. You've done everything that there is to do. But looking back on it, do you have any regrets personally? Is there something that you wish that you could have done that you didn't? Is there anything like that that you have about your career?
No, I mean, that's something that's the choice that I made. I was successful. And I can say that I choose that goal. But the comfort of being one of the ladies is great. This is his point, I'm going to say. The Coco Beware name is rich, but the wallet is broke as hell. And why? Why do I just need this broke? Because I didn't make the money. I made the money, but they just didn't pay us the money that we made. We made all kinds of records there. And it didn't discriminate. It didn't pick on me because I was black. And I was this. It didn't have anything to do with it because there was a lot of Caucasians out there which is the same as both.
Definitely.
Just a few of them got paid. And a lot of us didn't. And I achieved that goal. And I don't care how many times and which one holds and title. Belt and stuff like this, but he's riding, I'm riding the whole thing, the Ric Flair, it don't matter how many belts that you hold or whatever, we all in the whole thing together.
Definitely. But, mm-hmm.
pay to, you know, have the money to go get some vacations. I lost two homes over this business, but I still love it. I'm not knocking it. I'm not really knocking what I'm just saying. He just didn't pay everybody the same. Hulk Hogan got his money. Randy Savage, God bless his heart, he got his money. But it just wasn't the same. Mm-hmm. Because I'm telling you, my name is known all over the world. And I thank God for it is known all over the world. I'm talking about all over England, Germany, Japan, Hong Kong, everywhere. I've been to Lebanon, Beirut. where the Americans not allowed to go, but they know me down there. Well, like I said, my name is rich. But you look at Coco Beware. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just open up, telling you the truth.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not gonna get on this radio to lie for nobody. Hey, I want to thank you all, and most of all, I want to thank Eric Sales, my promoter there that works with me all the time, and he's a great guy, family man, and I love it. He got the sweetest little baby. Oh my God! And I just thank God for him. I thank God for you guys. And just remember this, guy. Mm-hmm. Always say to yourself, there's nobody in the radio business is better than you guys. There's nobody in the radio. All the radio stations, we are the best radio guys in the world.
Wow. Thank you so much, Coco.
All right, my man.
All right, once again, thanks to the Birdman, Coco Beware, a rare opportunity that you just got to experience on another wrestling podcast.
Today we're ornithologists, Steve. That is a bird watcher.
And a bird listener now, too, if everybody's tuning in.
I don't know what that's called. I just had...
I'm a bird watcher. Oh, wait, that's... I don't know. Make sure you head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, the mothership of AWP. You can find links to subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Player FM, and TuneIn.
You can buy our official Another Wrestling Podcast shirts, prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast.
Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/awrestlingpod.
Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/anotherwrestlingpod.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Another Wrestling Podcast. All right, Steve, we just had Coco Beware on, one of the better wrestlers in the 80s and 90s, one of the most colorful, you know, characters, if you will, and he is probably glaringly omitted from some of the championships that he could have won in the WWE. So I found it fitting today that we talk about some people who have competed in the WWE who never really made it. And by that I mean they never captured championship gold. There's a lot of them out there. There's some that you probably don't even realize didn't win the big one. I've got several that I've got up in the old noggin right now. As a matter of fact, it's really getting to me. You know as well as I do that I'm talking about Ravishing Rick Rude. The gentleman should have won every title that they had. And you know what? He should have had them all at the same time. The Ravishing one showed everything. He got people ready for the next big event. You know, like he was beaten up by Hogan and all these guys to get them ready for the main event, basically. And I think that, you know, he won the Intercontinental title. That's great. But he should have also won the World Heavyweight Championship. And I hate to say it, but if Hogan wasn't around back then, I think that he would have definitely been the world champion in the WWE.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, Rick Rude was definitely a special one. But, Jonathan, I have a guy who pretty much could buy anything. And, you know, the million dollar man, Ted DiBiase. Now, okay, I know he hired Andre the Giant to to win the title for him. I know he created the Million Dollar Championship. But, you know, this man, I think, should have had a more of a lengthy run for the WWE or WWF at the time at World Heavyweight Championship. It was like, it was one of those too soon things. It was too soon. Like, he didn't win it. It wasn't really a match that he won, but I got it. He's the Million Dollar Man. He could buy it, yada, yada, yada. You know, I just don't, I don't know. I think he should have won it in a legit match, a fluke match, a whatever match, and then just held on to it and just started, like, paying off his, like, people that, you know, that he won to where, you know, a great storyline would have been to where, you know, I don't know, however long you want to have him keep it on for like, a year, but every major opponent he had, he paid off, but nobody found out about that till the end. See, like, that's what they should have did, stretch it out, but, you know, such a history of the DiBiases, which we talked about on another wrestling podcast, about the DiBiases. But yeah, man, I don't know. Ted DiBiase. Yeah, I know he got it one way, but he should have got it the other way. And I hope that sounds not as bad as it sounded.
Well, I totally agree with you, which is a rarity, but, Ted DiBiase is definitely one of those people that should have been WWE World Heavyweight Champion. This kind of is a wild card because now he's been relegated to kind of being a comedic wrestler. That's what he's most known for. He comes out with the 2x4 and he's yelling ho and all that. Talking Hacksaw Jim Duggan, the first Royal Rumble winner. He was, you know, a mainstay in the 80s and 90s. And I don't know if this is a 100% true or not, but I would assume that he probably would have been champion had he not had that fateful run-in with the Iron Sheik. And what do you think about that? Do you believe me on that situation? Do you think that he would have been world champion?
You know, Jonathan, I totally. Hacksaw has quite the career under his belt, and unfortunately, he didn't win the World Heavyweight Championship. You know, a lot of things happen. You know, right? He's either in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, and that's what unfortunately I think kind of halted any major push he would have gotten. But still, what a great career he had, regardless. You know.
Yeah, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's just one of many. You know, we've spoke about Million Dollar Man. We talked about Rick Rude. We talked about Hacksaw. Who do you have up that you want to talk to us about somebody who is never world champion in the WWE?
You know, Jonathan, one of my favorites, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. At what era? I don't know. I mean, you know, Razor Ramon was awesome in the WWE, and I think he could have been awesome WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Even when he came back, Scott Hall, you know, in the NWO, I would have loved to have seen him kind of have it. He's a big guy, you know, like, he's huge. He doesn't look like it at first, but when you see some of his opponents next to him, you know, they look tiny, and, you know, I don't know. He had the look, he had the talk, he had the walk, you know, he had it all, and it's a shame that he never was given it. You know, he made the IC Championship look awesome. He's made other titles look awesome, but just never that Winged Eagle. You know, I wish he had that WWE World Heavyweight Championship one place or one time or another, but, you know, I don't know. I always go back thinking about it to where I think that, he could have did more if given the opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm going to say probably next to Rick Rude and some of the people that we've talked about, one person that keeps popping up in my mind is Jake the Snake Roberts. Obviously, one of the greatest of all time. Not only did he not win the World Heavyweight Championship, he was never an Intercontinental Champion. You know, this to me, I guess that he didn't need it. And that's what you hear all the time is if, you know, the belt doesn't make the man makes the belt, or, you know, whatever you want to say. But I feel like that Jake should have at least gotten one run with that championship. Now, go ahead.
No, yeah, definitely. I agree 100%, man. It's a lot of these guys make you think. You don't realize how many guys never really had that spot, you know. So it's amazing.
Well, speaking of that spot, I want to talk to you right now. It is the year 2016. WWE is the biggest wrestling company in the entire world, probably universe. There are a lot of guys that are there right now that have not won the big one yet. Who are some of the people that you think that haven't won the championship that should win the championship? And then let us know if you think that it'll ever happen, or 10 years from now we'll be doing the same podcast talking about the same thing about someone who hasn't won that championship.
You know, there's a few guys right now, and off the top of the bat, the most obvious I want to say is AJ Styles. I want to say AJ Styles, and granted, I thought it would have been amazing to give him the championship, you know, have him beat Jericho at Mania, have him become the number one contender, and then have him beat the world heavyweight, WWE heavyweight champion. What a great story. You know, it would have been in the history books of, like, the quickest, you know, debut to winning, got it, or whatever, something like that. But I don't know. I definitely would have seen AJ Styles right away just to get it. I think one day he'll get it. One day, but it's one of those things where a guy comes in from the outside who's kind of, you know, into his career. Vince didn't make him. He's not going to make him, kind of, you know. So I would have loved to have seen him get it really quick. Even, you know, winning the Royal Rumble when he debuted. But that's one guy. Just one guy to get the nod. There's a lot of guys now, Jonathan. This is one of the biggest rosters they've had in a while, believe it or not. Especially from NXT all the way up. Jonathan, the only other choice I would give is Cesaro. You know, the fans love him. Vince said that he had to do more to get that brass ring, whatever. Got injured, comes back, has a new gimmick, kind of, with the whole Bond feeling, ripping the whole outfit off. Fans still love him. The man's great, man. You know, he's got an accent. He's different. You know, he's a different kind of wrestler. He knows his stuff. He's so talented and gifted. I don't know what else to say about him, but to where that's, you know, that guy, I would love to see what he could do with it, you know, to where it's not the obvious of Roman Reigns or John Cena. Like, Cesaro's a little bit of a plan B, but I would definitely, you know, be interested in the next year or two to see if they give it to him. So, I don't know. I hope it happens, but, you know, he hasn't gotten it yet. Do you see anybody else? I don't know who else could be left, but I'm sure you have a few, huh?
Yeah, I'm saying right now, one person right now who's getting finally some recognition for all the hard work that he's put in his career is Kofi Kingston. Now, he's with the New Day now, and they're tag team champions, and everything's great, but he's been pretty much every other champion that you can be in the WWE except for the World Heavyweight Champion, the WWE champion, if you will. So I hope that Kofi gets the nod at some point. I hope, like I said, we're not talking about this in 10 years and said, that guy never got the WWE championship. You know, obviously he's totally capable of being and carrying that. You know, I could also look to Big E. At any moment they could say, Big E, you're going to be the WWE champion, because he has the look, he's got the charisma, he should definitely get the championship at some time. But probably the most glaring omission right now that we're going to talk about is like his counterpart, who never won the WWE championship as well. I'm talking about Dean Ambrose. Now, both of his Shield brethren have won, but I'm talking about how he is very much like Piper, and Piper never won it, and I hope that's not the case with Dean Ambrose, because to be honest, whenever the Shield came to the WWE, I had a bet with several people, and we all decided who was going to be the first Shield member to get WWE Championship gold, and unfortunately, Dean Ambrose has not won the WWE Championship, but both Rollins and Reigns have. So I think his time's coming. I really do. I would say between this year and 2017, we may see a Lunatic Fringe title reign.
I don't know, John. This is where I'm going to have to disagree a little bit. I don't see it, man. I don't, like, to me, like, I get his character and whatnot, but I don't know. He's not championship material in my eye. Granted, I think he's a shadow of Steve Austin, a glimpse of Brian Pillman. He's not a guy I'm going to give the title, and I'm going to see him on the Today Show the next morning after a WrestleMania. I don't see it. If it does happen, he's going to win it, and someone's going to cash in on him that very night to where he'll be a quick champion. Maybe he'll get it again, but I don't know. I think I don't see it, Jonathan. I don't see it.
Ouch. Well, I mean, tell us how you really feel about Dean Ambrose.
But I said I don't see it.
Yeah, regardless, we've talked a lot today about, you know, we've talked about Raw. We've talked about wrestlers who've never won championships, wrestlers that we hope will win championships. We've talked about a little bit of everything. But, Steve, this is the end of our show. But we have so much great stuff coming up, for instance, next week. So can you tell the people a little bit about what they're going to get if they tune in next week?
You know, Jonathan, if you tune in next week, not only are you going to get, well, me and Jonathan again, but we're going to have Santino Marella on the show. He's going to talk to us a lot about his career, his Battle Arts Academy, and why he, how his thoughts on leaving the WWE. So it's going to be a great show. But not only are we talking to Santino, but we're going to be talking about the best wrestlers who are put into, you know, comedic roles, if you will. So another topic on another wrestling podcast only next week. So stay tuned for that one.
Now, if you're in the Hudson Valley and you love comic books, action figures, and anything dealing with pop culture, head on over to collectorsrealm.net. You guys can visit them at the Duchess Marketplace on Saturdays and Sundays between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. That's Duchess Marketplace, located at 453 Route 9 in Fishkill, New York, just south of I-84. Head on over to collectorsrealm.net.
Hey, all you professional wrestling fans out there. We here at Another Wrestling Podcast have just the thing for you. If you've always wanted to join one of those monthly subscription sites that give you all kinds of treats and goodies in the mail, the best one by far is ProWrestlingCrate.com. You can follow them at PWCrate on Twitter or at ProWrestlingCrate on Instagram. Be sure to check them out and subscribe. The cost is nominal and you get some amazing things every month. And you never know what you're going to get. So tell them that Another Wrestling Podcast sent you and enjoy the Pro Wrestling Crate.
Head on over to PWPNation.com. It's a wrestling media website and community that loves professional wrestling. They strive on creating an array of interesting articles and reviews on everything professional wrestling. Head on over to PWPNation.com.
What's going on, AWP fans? I'm Angry Cooter, the Social Assassin, host of Main Event Marks. Me and my panel of smart marks go live on YouTube Wednesdays at 9 p.m. for a rude and crude show that is four marks, five marks, and is sure to make you laugh or cringe. We sent your mama's wrestling podcast, so come walk with us on the wild side here at Main Event Marks.
Hey, listeners and viewers of Another Wrestling Podcast, this is Steven from Steve's Wrestling Ramble. If you want a second or third option of hearing WWE news, check out my show, Steve's Wrestling Ramble, on YouTube. At youtube.com/user/complain08. Check it out, give it a shot. And we are a little bit different, and as I always say, join the conversation. Always like to interact with people. Give it a whirl.
Head on over to ESSpromotions.com. With close to 30 years of experience, ESS Promotions has become one of the largest talent agencies in the professional wrestling business today. They work with over 100 internationally known wrestling stars, many of whom you know and have enjoyed watching on television for many years. ESS Promotions has built its reputation working with many of the top independent wrestling companies, small businesses, and corporate America with the goal of bringing you their brand of cost-effective and fan-friendly entertainment. Head on over to ESSpromotions.com for more information.
Well, that's the show. We want to thank you all for listening today.
Every week we do this show free of charge for you, the fans.
And if you're wondering how to repay us, we have just the thing.
Subscribe to us on iTunes.
Hey, and while you're there, be sure to rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more information about AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com.
We are all over social media, and you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and more.
If you are an AWP superfan, you can also show your support by going over to ProWrestlingTees.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast and buying one of our official AWP shirts.
We couldn't do this show without you, so tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.